guest this evening is no stranger to Radio Wātea, Hema Waka, and Hema has been busy this weekend in Rotorua. Hema Waka has been busy this weekend at the rugby league tournament in Rotorua, and I'm going to talk to him about that because it's usually a very big affair. Tēnā koe, Hemana. Nice to hear from you. Nice to have you with us today.
Oh, tēnā koe, kare nā tino mihi aroha nui ki a koe, me te papai te whakaronoti a koe, kōrero mana. So great to hear you back on air and to join you on your show tonight.
Well, I always love talking to you because you've got a mine of information in so many subjects, Kei te pehe a koe, kei te pai.
Kei te ora, kare. Oh, good. Tino pai a nāhau.
Oh, that's good. And this is Long John weather, he mana, isn't it? You've got to keep yourself wrapped up in this weather.
Well, you wouldn't believe it. Aotearoa put on some good weather for us over the weekend where we were able to play 2 days of rugby league tournament for our Māoris in the nice sunshine weather.
Well, you know something, Hemana, I'm really disappointed at our local newspaper because I looked, yes. I looked to see, I mean, this is a significant event, and I looked to see some reportage on it in our Daily Post, but there's nothing, and I find that very disappointing.
I totally agree with you, and I'm also happy to share with you that there was some disappointment from the council themselves, because, you know, we bring a good economy to Rotorua with our tournaments, our 5 tournaments a year, 4 in Rotorua and 1 in Whakatane. And then the council turned around and put some new rules on us and forced us to split our tournament between Phuket Te Whero and go back up to Westbury Stadium, up at the International Stadium. And our tournament was moved 3 times within the space of a week by the council. And we were very, very disappointed that because the council doesn't realise the amount of time and effort that our board prepares for these tournaments. At this tournament, we had 42 teams, under 15s, under 17s, and under 19s, rangatahi tāne. And when you look at the amount of games that we had to play and to prepare, there's fields to be prepared, tents to be put up, first aid, hooters, rubbish to be cleaned up. And we had that all planned at the one stadium. And then because we had 2 teams too many, the council turned around and threw a bombshell on us at the last minute. And so we were not very happy about the last minute changes because it affected our draw big time, my dear.
Well, that's something you didn't need. I think you must give them that feedback officially, Hemana, because they will need to hear that, because it would have also inconvenienced you terribly having to play at 2 locations, the travelling and the added expense for families and everything, and also to have the volunteers split. Are you saying that you had to play at 2 venues?
Yes, we had to split up for the sake of 2 extra fields. When in the years gone by, we've managed well from the one field at Phuket Te Whero. We had the paddocks there, we had the referees, and we had the volunteers. But when you split up the organisation into 2, you have to double up on everything. You've got to double up on the referees. You've got to double up on the catering. You've got to double up on the rubbish bins and at the other field for the sake of only 2 teams. And so, don't worry. The council actually didn't realise the amount of work that goes into the preparation and planning for our tournaments. And the good thing is we got an apology from them, and they allowed us to use International Stadium at no cost, and they picked up all the tab for the other things that was normally we would have normally had to pay. So I'll give them a bit of kudos on that. But I think the lesson should be learned. Do not spread us up with our tournaments. We've been doing this for quite a few years now. We know what we're doing, Mere Peka, and in terms of the sponsorship and that, and in terms of the, you know, because that only makes us think twice. Gosh, we had a successful All-Stars hosting from Rotorua at the beginning of the year. And to be hit with something like this, and then they tell us. And so can you imagine the panic station going on between our board and our tournament organisers. But we stood up to the challenge, and we performed to the best of our ability. And may I say that we had a very, very wonderful tournament all up. We had some new entries coming in as well, Merepeka. We had a team from Western Australia travelled over to participate in the tournament. And I've been judging hakas for over 10 years in this tournament. And, you know, one look at their haka on the first day was enough to convince me this is going to be a hard team to beat. And they repeated again the next day at the finals. And I showed it to my other colleagues, and they agreed with me. And I'm proud to announce, and I think everybody was behind the judgment when the haka was awarded to the Western Australia Māoris that came over to introduce their rangatahi and build their culture up big time. And as I mentioned to the spectators, when you're judging hakas, you're only not judging for the flash things. You're judging, I'm listening to the words, the composition of the hakas. And this team that came out from Australia paid a lot of tribute to the iwi moemoea in their haka. And that convinced me quite a bit how good their haka was. Not to mention the other team as well. There was, I got Matatini number two every time we have a tournament. I can assure you, because it's so hard to judge when you've got women and females doing the haka. I tell you, I think we should be able to submit a Māori Rugby League haka team into the Matatini.
Well, that's it. Well, if you do, it'll be a women's rugby team that does that'll be taking it out there. Because I tell you, somebody sent me a video the other day and said, "What do you think?" And they said, and I'd actually looked at it and I thought, you know, to be honest, Hemana, I think the women, and I'm talking about the women's rugby team, they put in more into their haka than our men do. They absolutely get into the zone. That's what it appears to me. They really, no egos, just doing it not only to spur themselves on and each encourage each other, but they do it for the fans that are there, the spectators, and everybody can feel it. I believe that anyway. Yeah.
You're dead right, because I feel it. Every tournament I feel, because they do it because the haka they perform on the field before they even touch the rugby league ball, before it kicks off. The haka that they perform on the field identifies their whakapapa to Papa Tuanuku.
Now, the team from Australia, where were they from?
Perth. They all came from Perth. Talking to one of the organisers on the board, they want to develop their culture. And of course, Perth is not a rugby league nation; it's more rugby orientated and Australian football. But the Māori, our Māoris over there are predominantly fans on league, and so this team is hoping to produce more teams in the grades and then attend our tournaments. And hopefully they get an opportunity to make the New Zealand Māori team back here in Aotearoa. So kudos to them, and kudos to keeping their tikana up and above beyond tikana Māori observed by them in Perth.
And Hemana, what's the state of the talent that you would have seen it all with the 42 teams over the weekend? How's their talent as players? Are they really showing promise? Can you see in them, New Zealand players eventually, or overseas
that is
players?
That is a very good question, Merepeka, because I see talent coming at all the tournaments, but the question is, how do we promote the talent that we pick a Māori national team at all the grades at the end of each tournament, but who do they play? So where do they go to? What's the career path for them? And the only one we've got at the moment is against our Pacific Island cousins towards the end of the year, where we play the different island groups against the Māori team. That's one outlet that we've only just started. And I'm rather excited with the challenge that the Vodafone Warriors are now starting to pick teams as young as 15 years old as part of their culture to develop the players within the Warriors' career path. And we could be part of that. We could be providing some top talent to be targeted by the Warriors and taken into their umbrella for future rugby players here, homegrown from Aotearoa, without having to buy in players from Australia.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, it's a sport too where you get a lot of fans that you know, are supportive of, and they are supportive, and they really get in behind the players too, don't they? As it and
Oh, you're
teams.
absolutely right. And for example, when we went up to Westbury Park, up at the top of the International Stadium, we had over 500 people there just to come to support their teams from the different iwis around the country. And at the minute they get up there, they just follow their team around with their staunch supporters. And you can't miss the Western Australian supporters because they were all dressed in yellow and black, which was my Te Tiko RSA colour. So you couldn't see them. You could see them from a mile away. But that's how the strength of the supporters are that they bring to the game, Merepeka. You have a look, one child, two parents, a couple of grandparents, an uncle and an auntie, the brothers and the sisters. That's what one child brings to a Māori rugby league tournament.
Yes, that's very true. So, you know, if you had 42 teams in town
Yes.
playing over the weekend, that must be 10 players per team.
Yeah,
Plus the.
no, we had up to 22 players per team.
Oh my God, because that's all the reserves as well, is it?
Yes,
Well.
that includes all the reserves as well. So they come with their 22 to 26 players per team, and that's a lot of players. And accommodation and had to be supplied and manais. Each team's got their own manais in Te Arawa, and some go to the hotels. They've got the luxury of the hotels with their fundraising, and we bring the business in Rotorua. They'd be rubbing their hands every time the Māori tournament comes to Rotorua.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because you know, we save up for these events, and when we go
Yes.
out, we don't skimp. We don't skimp, do we? We make sure we've got enough pocket money, you know, and we obviously to for the accommodation, but we've got enough pocket money to go out and have a lovely kai and be with other family members as well.
No, you're so right. And one of the new things that participated in this tournament as well, Merepeka, was Māori television came for the first time for many, many years. They actually came in to promote what we've been doing over the weekend. And we were doing live stream at all our tournaments, and they used our live stream onto the Māori television platform, and was able to broadcast our game on their YouTube channel, which was sort of a bonus for us using another platform to promote Māori Rugby League. On the other, and I take your point. Why wasn't there radio? Why wasn't Radio Te Arawa there broadcasting games live, all in te reo? And why wasn't the paper there? And I rather suspect, and I will have a talk to our media team. We've got a very strong social media team and a commentary team present, but we also need the print to be there to highlight what's happening in Rotorua. And when you think about 42 teams, where do they come from? Why do they come to the tournament? All those questions, and the venue has to play a big part, and we need to get there, make sure we get the good support from the council to ensure that the parks are in good condition to allow us to play a good, entertaining rugby league, not only for the players themselves and their hapū and iwi, but for their parents and their sponsors. And we'd like to highlight that big time.
Yeah, and I'm so pleased that Whakaata Māori were there. I know, as you say, they've been absent for a long time. But this is sport. This is where our young people see themselves as well, not only playing, but perhaps aspiring to maybe play at some stage. So it's important that it gets profiled in all forms of media, whether social media and then, of course, in the print media and then on the television and on the radio as well. We've got that all available to us. So I'm not sure what's happening, why it shouldn't be, be making a getting there. And tell me, were there any scouts from Australia there?
Very good question. Yes, there was. There
All
was
right.
there was some we anticipated some scouts coming across to have a look, and we also had some scouts from the Vodafone Warriors as well. But they didn't say they were scouts, they were just observing. But you can guarantee they were observing the young talent that we've got. And we actually had one playing over the weekend, and he's already been contracted to the Tridents. He's an under-15-year-old boy from Christchurch. He played for Christchurch Club, and he came up and he played because Christchurch didn't feel the team. He came up to play with one of the Wellington teams, Awa Kairangi, and he got recognised earlier in the year. And they've contracted him. Well, not a contract. They've done an arrangement for him to go and play in their tournaments over there, which is about once every 3 or 4 months. Then they pay him to go over there with his mother to participate in the games over there. And he is being monitored very closely by the Titans. So that's an outlet that's opening up through our tournaments as well.
So that's obviously an opportunity for some of our young players to start to stand out. And so yes. any Benji Marshalls, up and coming Benji Marshalls there?
I can assure you there's a lot of Benji Marshalls in the women's grades because they're so talented as well. But to come up to the Benji Marshalls, not quite. They're not quite there yet. The coaches are drilling them to play as a team rather than as individuals. And that was clearly displayed by the Kotahitana club, where they won the finals of the under-15 and under-17s, and Counties Manukau won the under-19s. And that was because they were close to play as a team and not as individuals.
Yes, yes. Oh, well, it was obviously a fantastic weekend, and with it not was. Only quality, not only the quality of the playing, but also the opportunity Whānau and Freds had to, had meeting together and encouraging and just having a great time. So it looks as a, and I do hope that the systems are going to be in place that to protect our young stars and our young players, because, you know, when they're starting to be get known and taken notice of, I guess they, there can be risks and dangers associated with that. We often hear sometimes how their mental health isn't looked after always because they start to become very well known. So I presume that sometimes those things are put in place, even at an early age.
Yes, we do keep an eye on that. And when it comes to contractual persons, they must go through the proper appropriate channels. They don't just go and take a shortcut straight to the player or to the coach. There's a format that they must go through. If they spot a player, then we need to be included in there to make sure that the welfare of that individual is taken care of at the other end. And what are the support services in place for that individual? We do not want them to go over there and crack up and give because they're not looked after properly. So there's going to be a Māori focus around the support wraparound services when they go to Australia. And there are some Māori families here that will pick them up and look after them if they do. If they're fortunate enough to get a contract over there. And so we take it into a lot of consideration as well.
And were there any ex-stars, any ex-league stars that visited over the weekend, made a visit there?
Well, yes and no. We normally get Adam Blair to come down to our tournaments, and he's one of the people that we use in our social media during the tournament. But because of the Warriors playing up there on a Saturday, and go to Warriors. And Blair turned up on a Sunday as part of Māori TV to conduct some interviews with Dale Husband and co for a bit of a wrap on how the tournament was progressing. So we're slowly, very slowly, getting into gear in terms of being recognised by major Māori channels. I do have a question with our radio Waitea, because from a national level, why are they not coming to supply a broadcasting team and broadcast Māori commentaries live from our Māori tournaments? I remember doing that when I was running around the countryside promoting Māoris on iwi radio. There's 18 iwi radios that can link in to those broadcasts, and Aotearoa, Radio Waitea is sitting on a goldmine, but they're not doing anything about it. That's my challenge to Radio Waitea. If Māori television is slowly coming in, they have to pay a bit of money because we're paying quite a bit of money for our live stream. So there has to be a give and take on both sides. So, you know, the hospitality we provide for any media is above and beyond. So I'm challenging Radio Waitea, get a team together, put a team together, and bring them to our tournaments. For example, my dear, Next tournament we got is the under-15s, under-17s Wahine tournament, all Wahine. And it's already booked out. We've already got 40 registered teams now. They were almost registered a week after we opened up the registrations. And we're anticipating over 40 Wahine teams coming to our tournament in July in Rotorua.
That's only next month.
Correct.
My goodness gracious. Well, you're becoming a strong supporter of the news of the Rotorua economy, Hemana. Is there any Pākehā involvement? You really are. So is there any Pākehā involvement anywhere in either the promotion of or reporting on the games, or is it strictly mostly Māori supporting it right the way through?
I love that question very much. Yes, we do have one major sponsor, one foundation. That was with Kerry and Lynn in Rotorua there. They are our major sponsors for all our tournaments. And that doesn't mean to say there's not enough room for sponsors. And you would think the Rotorua Lions would pick up some sort of sponsorship package that we provide. And McDonald's could provide vouchers, food vouchers, KFC. They could provide the food vouchers as part of our prize giving to our tournaments. But none has put their hands up, I'm sad to say.
Yeah, well, sometimes it does have a lot to do with the person who's actually getting out and going and visiting and talking to these people. Because I have known that in the past, our businesses are very supportive, particularly of children's sport. And I have to say, yes, for Māori sport as well. So, you know, this is, you know, young people, young adult sports, youth sports. So I'm surprised to hear that they've, you know, our businesses haven't been as forthcoming as I believe they damn well should, especially those fast food outlets. Because by God, we support them.
Oh, yeah, you better believe that. But thank you for raising that, Meripeta, because I will raise it with our board. You know, the issue we got is all our people are volunteers.
That's right.
You know, from
that's
the board right up to the people that are running the trust. They've got their own jobs to worry about, and we are trying to find. We have appointed a media liaison person to do exactly that, but it's finding the funding to pay that person well to find and market our product. So that's a work in progress at the moment, my dear.
Oh, well, look, that's just great. Now, tell me, we've just had the King's Honours Awards, the King's Birthday Honours this week, or yesterday, actually, they were announced. And so we saw Selwyn Parata, he became a knight. So were there any inclusions there in the list that you were delighted to see?
I'm very, very happy for Selwyn Parata with the amount of energy that he's been able to provide for Matatini and just highlights the business arm, the commercial arm of what Kapahaka can provide. And especially when you stay at Eden Park and just see the thousands and thousands of people and viewers that get to watch it. And so I have to, I'm all for someone, and I'm very happy he's got that. The other one that came to my mind was Hardy Williams. And from the art, from the education point of view, and from a broadcaster, I learned my broadcasting through Hardy Williams in the radio industry, and I learned my broadcasting from Whai Nata and Ernie Leonard in the television industry. These are all guys that know what they're talking about, and I'm glad Hardy got an award. And there was a couple of others there that I missed them. I'm afraid. But those two come to mind for me. And there was a couple of other Māori women there that was involved in. And they should be recognised. It's strange to hear the King's Honours after many, many decades of the Queen's Honours Awards, and to see that it's a King's Honours Award. And I know, I know there's a lot of Māoris out there that are doing their damnedest for their own iwi, their hapū, working their butt off, voluntary, to ensure the health and safety of our people, like our Māori health providers, and doing the little things on the ground. And so I do believe that it is essential that we recognise our top Māori people for their services contributing to Māori. I believe in that. Oh, okay. Nā nei rā mele peka, tēnei te mea te